Welcome to Jump in Tucson. You know, it's been my privilege over the last 3 decades plus to be an instructor, faculty member at the University of Arizona. I started kind of as a, hey, will you do us a favor and cover a class? And that's metamorphosed into, I just finished grades last week and I went to a graduation last Thursday. And of course, the big graduation commencement, President Robbins conferred over 8,000 degrees. Yeah, that's right. I said it right. Degrees over the weekend. And boy, what some excited, happy young people who had completed their 10 years, getting through the COVID years and being successful and us launching them into their futures. It's just an amazing process. And I'm bedazzled by it every single year to see our students going off into the world. And so that's what Jump in Tucson is about on Monday. It's about the wonder at the University of Arizona, to talk about the good things that are going on. And with us is one of those people that does wonderful work at the University of Arizona, Erica Mitnick. She's a marketing manager in the marketing communications and works with the Forge project. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me today.
So I was really proud of myself because I know what Forge stands for. It's an acronym, right?
It is an acronym, and that's pretty impressive. A lot of folks have guesses about, you know, what it stands for. But yeah, Forge is finding opportunities and resources to grow entrepreneurs. We're part of research, innovation, and impact at the University of Arizona.
When you think about a land-grant university and a Research One institution, and how important that is to not only just the educational process here in Arizona, but also across the country. Land-grant universities are really important, but also that Research One designation and having research be such a bedrock fundamental of what so many of the faculty and postdocs and other people are doing. It's great to have young people involved in some activities that gets them exposed to that whole research component. You fall underneath that, that Forge falls underneath that particular area, and it's cross campus, correct?
It is. We are able to work with students in any program. And so that means we have students that work with us from a variety of colleges. We have a program that we're doing now, the Student Startup Residency, that's working with a lot of students out of the College of Science, out of the iSchool, Eller and others, where these are students who have original venture concepts that they're working on a boot camp this summer. That's right. One of the exciting programs we're doing. And we have so many students working with us. We have a lot of programs that we offer a support and share for student founders. We have Student Made is the newest program that we just launched. And our programs are really intended to help every student discover the entrepreneurial version of themselves. And that's so important. We have amazing resources, amazing educational programs on campus for students who are in business programs and studying that. What Forge offers is both a chance to put that learning in an experiential context. So students who have launched ventures of their own have support for ventures that they are running and resources that they're able to tap into and support from Forge, as well as students from colleges where it may have never occurred to them that was an opportunity for them. And those are students we're really trying very hard to reach, is students in the arts who might not realize how having those entrepreneurial mindset skills is going to help them in their future. Students in, you know, in the sciences, in AI is a big area now. So there's students in even things like music, where it's very likely students might end up on a path where those venture skills are going to help them because they want to start their own venture after graduation. Or even if they work in an organization, those entrepreneurial mindset skills, things like problem solving, how to form a team, how to do customer discovery, how to discover the need for what you're doing, those same skills will make them of value and valuable and effective in whatever context they end up.
And this is a great learning experience for them to be collaborative and cross variety of different colleges and working with different professors and research associates, but also with other students in kind of molding their own little collaborative ideas. And like you say, if you're in a small college that doesn't have a lot of this going on, like at Eller, they do collaboration every 15 seconds, you know, and that's kind of what we have them do. But in some of the smaller colleges, it's nice to have this exposure to kind of cross campus engagement, right?
Absolutely. It's a huge help. And a lot of the programs that we do are very peer support driven, mm-hmm. where it's helpful for students, again, in any area who are looking at managing a venture and being entrepreneurial, have the support of other students as well who are doing that journey and being able to talk to them about how do you balance that with school, with, you know, with life, with all the things you have going on, mm-hmm. and how do you find success in that area?
There was, in the UA News, there was a little story, and one of the entrepreneurs was doing something that had to do with Native American and that whole cultural perspective as well. And again, that would perhaps maybe not be a consideration, be entrepreneurial in that area, but it turned out to be exciting and meaningful for students in those smaller colleges like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Student Made is one of the programs mm-hmm. that we just launched that we're very excited about. And this is a partnership with a startup. Student Made is now on over a dozen campuses. So we are the newest campus to add this program. And it is an online marketplace that will be specific to University of Arizona for University of Arizona student creators. It's almost like, I like to joke that it's sort of an Etsy for academia. Mm. But what that offers is for student creators to have an opportunity, again, if they're in programs like the fine arts, like photography, like anything where they might have an outlet where they want to see, hey, is this something that I could try out mm-hmm. as a venture? And the team that runs Student Made, it was actually founded by a pair of students from Elon University, Lindsay Reith and Ryan McElhenney. And they started as students because they found this was a great way to, again, really engage students and provide a living laboratory to be entrepreneurial and to see how that could go and for students to kind of test that out. And some of the success stories they've talked about are just incredible. Like one, I love they talked about...
Hold right there. Oh. When we come back, we'll talk about those success stories. I'm having a hard time saying success this morning, but it must be Monday. We're talking with Erica Mitnick. She's a manager in marketing communication for Forge. You're listening to KVOI 10:30 AM, The Voice, and this is Jump in Tucson. We'll be back after a couple of great sponsors share some information with you. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Dr. Ed Ackerley. This is the Wonder version. On Mondays, we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. With us is Erica Mitnick. She is a manager in marketing and communications for Forge, which stands for Finding Opportunities and Resources to Grow Entrepreneurs. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So, you know, you were just about ready right before the break. You were going to talk about what we like to talk about is success stories. So tell us a couple of those success stories that you want to highlight of people who, young students who have been through the Forge process.
Well, we've definitely seen some amazing success stories of students who have been through Forge. One of the students that's graduating today has been with our program, Ben Lemon. He's been with us for 3 years now, and started his own business as a sophomore.
Yeah,
it's gone so fast. And he started his own business as a sophomore and talks about, you know, that journey of like knocking on doors, you know, just being in the hole, trying to make it work. This most recent quarter, they had over $250,000 in business.
Wow.
It's worth saying he's not a business student, and this is typical for what we see at Forge. We want to help students in every area identify how they can be entrepreneurial, and mm-hmm. that's something that we find students are very hesitant to self-identify as entrepreneurs, when we ask that question, who here thinks of themselves as an entrepreneur, we don't see many hands. We can ask the same group of students, hey, who here has a side hustle? Who's, you know, running a business? Who's got, you know, something that they're doing on the side? Huge amount of hands, but they don't necessarily feel like they can own that identity as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And that's where Forge really steps in to help them. That's another area where the new Student Made program is really exciting. One of the stories that the founders of Student Made shared with me is a student at one of the other campuses where this program was rolled out took photographs just as a hobby mm-hmm. of campus, thought, well, I'll try it, put photographs up on the website. And alumni loved these photographs, were buying many of, within his first month, this student had sold $1,000 worth of photography. And that sort of validation for students, helping them see, hey, this thing that you're good at, this is an entrepreneurial superpower for you. This right. is a way to sort of navigate that, a way to turn that passion into something that could be a venture for you. The Student Made program also offers opportunities for students to not just sell what they do as student creators, but also offers management positions to be part of the Student Made Arizona management team, which means students who are interested in, you know, working on the logistics part of it, the social media and marketing, working on the team building, all of those sort of exercises that you go through to learn how to build and manage a venture, students can gain through this program. And so we're so excited because this summer we're recruiting students for the program, which will be launching fully in the fall with a complete student team.
And you're doing a boot camp in the summertime for some students?
We are. We have a program called the Student Startup Residency, and this addressed the need that, you know, students who have a startup concept that they want to work on, it's hard to carve out the time for that for students. It's hard for anybody, any entrepreneur, to carve out the time for that. And for students who often need to spend their summers working to earn money for tuition, the Student Startup Residency has support from donors who give these students stipends so that they essentially get paid during the summer to work on their startup concepts. They work with a team of professional mentors in residence that we have at Forge. They get to pitch their ideas at the end of this at a demo day graduation that we'll be holding this summer to professional investors and VC firms. And these folks also give them insight along the way, talk to them about how ideas like theirs actually become ventures in the real world. And students that we've seen go through this program, the confidence they gain is remarkable. It's this transition where you go from having an idea but not really knowing what it's worth, is it realistic, what would it take to make that happen, and having professionals guide you through that process and give you insight. That experience alone has been so valuable for our students. The confidence they've gained in being able to talk about their ideas, talk about their concepts, and talk about who they are. That is something that serves them for a lifetime.
For a lifetime, exactly. We're talking with Erica Mitnick. She's a manager of marketing and communications with the Forge Project, which stands for Finding Opportunities and Resources to Grow Entrepreneurs at the University of Arizona. This lifelong learning then, or this lifelong giving them this foundation that they will take then and move. And so many of them, as you say, when you first ask them, do they have the entrepreneurial spirit, and they don't raise their hand, they don't think that they have what it takes. They have ideas and they're doing things, but they don't see the potential in that. And then going through the process and be able to, I have a case in point, a young man who his idea was to make, you know how I don't play golf well, but you know, you put a tee on a green and you hit the ball and the tee breaks, and so you just leave it there on the, and so in many golf courses there's tees all over the golf course because of you know, they're made out of wood. They eventually biodegrade. Some of them are made out of plastic though. And so he came up with the idea of making those out of all things coffee grounds. And so they would compress coffee grounds and make it. And then when you leave them on the green, it turns into mulch and it helps the grass and it goes away. And same experience. He had this idea, but he didn't know how to kind of work it through the process. And once they go through this entrepreneurial experience that they get at the U of A, it's a powerful, powerful tool.
It really is. And it's so important that we involve as many students as possible in that process, because mm-hmm. we don't know, you know, where the next great idea that's going to lead right. us into the future is going to come from. And what we want to make sure is that all students, you know, all young people feel empowered mm-hmm. to speak up about those ideas, to present those ideas and sort of see where they lead. And in a way, it's we want to make sure that we give them not just the confidence, but also the permission to, you know, be able to identify like, yes, I am entrepreneurial. I do see myself as an entrepreneur. I have an idea and I want to see what it would be like to bring that idea to the world. Or even just students who want to test, what is it like to be in an entrepreneurial context? I truly believe that every person will launch a venture of some kind mm-hmm. in their life, you know, whether that venture is a business you start yourself, whether that venture is, you know, a nonprofit or an impact project that you care about, or whether it's, you know, managing your own household. These are mm-hmm. skills, problem solving, dealing with failure and resilience and how to overcome those challenges. That's a big one for us. Building a team, looking at what the needs are. These are skills that serve everyone and all young people.
And not all colleges are, because they're focusing on their academic mission, would necessarily impart these particular skills per se in a student. And so this is where Forge steps in and is able to give these students you know, the resources that they need
yes.
in order to be the entrepreneur that they could be and should be.
Absolutely. And we have tons of resources for students at any level. Students who visit our website, forge.arizona.edu, can access a wide array of different kinds of materials and support. We offer a completely free online asynchronous curriculum for mm-hmm. venture basics for students who just want to explore, hey, what do these different concepts mean? We have an entrepreneurial mindset assessment that students can take. I like to call it how to identify your entrepreneurial superpower. Again, because these are sets of skills and it's worth knowing, hey, is my skill set that I'm a great problem solver, or that, you know, I'm a risk taker and innovator. And so we encourage students to take that assessment and see where are those entrepreneurial mindset strengths for them. We have programs like Support and Share, which meets on campus twice a month for student founders, or even students who are curious about becoming founders, to talk with other students who are going through the experience, as well as sit in on presentations from professionals who help bring skills that they might need and answer questions for them. And programs, again, like Student Made, where you get to put your ideas out there and you're not just doing it on your own. I think that's a critical part of all of these Forge programs. We have a complete Student Venture Pathways team, and that team works hand in hand with students to offer them personalized support, personalized coaching, help guide them and answer questions. And that's what all of our programs are aimed at, is to help students who are curious about these things find the power within themselves to realize it and recognize it, and have a place to ask for support where they need support in realizing those goals and dreams.
Well, that's fascinating, and certainly skills that our graduates who graduated last weekend, Friday and Saturday, we had a huge event Thursday at Eller for our marketing students, and what a great, exciting time to forge a path for these students and launch them into the future for meaningful careers. Erica Mintek, Manager of Marketing Communications for Forge, thank you for coming in today and talking with us about the wonderful things happening for entrepreneurs on campus. And thanks for what you do with my good friend Pam Scott, the Vice President of Marketing Communications. It's important that we talk about the good things that are going on at the university and discovering that wonder that those students have. So this is KVOI 1038. AM The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk station, and you are listening to Jump in Tucson. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson, the Monday edition. This is Dr. Ed Ackerley. On Mondays, we talk about wonder at the University of Arizona. We talk about the good things that are going on in research and in development and in what the students are doing, what the faculty are doing in terms of their research and guiding these young people. It's a great celebration of all the wonderful things happening at the University of Arizona. And for our second segment here, we're talking with Dr. Jenkin Thenga, who is a Associate Professor of Aerospace and Mechanical Engineering. Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome back to Roman Campuzano, who's with us, my co-host today.
Happy Monday.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, tell us a little bit of the story of how you got to become a interested in aerospace and mechanical engineering, and then how that led to you being at the University of Arizona. How'd that all happen?
Sure. Thank you for that opportunity. I think it started around age two. I was pretty much focused on interest in space. The toys that I were, you know, playing with were space related.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a sort of a natural connection that I had since then. It also helped that this was the tail end of the Apollo era.
Mm-hmm.
You would see some of those good times, you know, being recollected. But you know, I would be, you know, under five, and then of course. Some of the, you know, great shows of space that are now, you know, very common started in that time frame. A little bit earlier, it was 2001 Space Odyssey. A little bit later, it was Star Wars, and then Battlestar Galactica.
Mm-hmm.
My personal favorite was Battlestar Galactica, just because it was in that same time frame. And so all of these factors helped me, you know, sort of be propelled towards interest in space. But where I was living at, it was nearly, you know, impossible to, you know, get into a space career. This was living in the other side of the world, particularly in places like Nigeria, Malaysia, and Sri Lanka. And so my dad happens to be a civil engineer, and so we were moving around places almost one country every 3 years or so, and so very similar to you know, a lot of military families moving mm-hmm. from place to place.
Speaking of which, on this Monday morning, we just heard a plane fly right over the top of the building, and as you were talking about space, along comes a big plane. But those military families move around, so you've moved around quite a bit.
Yeah. Quite a bit, and so moved overall to five or six different countries, and then our family chose to settle in Canada for about 20 years, at which point there were opportunities to you know, actually get into a you know, space career. And Canada has invested heavily into the space robotics world. And so that was one of the few pathways to you know, get into that. And so I looked for a, you know, university degree that would get you into space, and there happened to be only one.
Right.
And so you, you know, in a sense, took that opportunity. And from there, had a very exciting opportunity to work with a space robotics company called MD Robotics, and it was actually at incidentally a critical time for them, in which they were launching space robots into the ISS
mm-hmm.
back in the year 2000-2001, and so that gave me a sense of you know, purpose and you know, sort of more solidified interest of where I could go into, and that then eventually led into a master's degree, which never quite finished, and mm-hmm. I turned to a PhD, and I've been in a university setting ever since.
Yeah, it's interesting when you come to the University of Arizona, one of the little trivia things about NASA, which we're going to talk about after the break, is that every significant NASA program in space since its inception has involved the University of Arizona. There's always been somebody, or whether they run the mission like they did for Mars and even the OSIRIS-REx mission. But every single mission that Apollo, all of them, that NASA has done, the University of Arizona, and as a matter of fact, the University of Arizona mapped the backside of the moon as part of the process. So it's a good place to be. If you're interested in this kind of stuff, it's a good place to be, right?
Definitely. University of Arizona has a outsized role as a space university ever since the beginning. And I think thanks to a lot of right investment at the right time, bringing in, talented people, but also, helping to grow talent here in Arizona. I think, both factors are critical. And so that's quite a toast to see right. that achievement over those years. And now, of course, can we see that continue?
Right. I'm looking at Roman and thinking, Roman, you weren't alive when Neil Armstrong walked on the moon, were you?
I wasn't alive. However, I had two sets. Most of us have two sets of grandparents.
Right.
One had a very old encyclopedia set, and the other one had a continuously updated
right.
encyclopedia set. So I would dive through those things, man. I read all day. And one of the things that I really, for lack of a better word, nerd out to is exactly what you're talking about right now.
Yeah.
Landing on the moon, anything having to do with the stars. I've held a couple of star parties. I don't know if you know
right.
that or not.
But right.
It's really fascinating when it comes to what's out there.
Yeah, and it's amazing that being in Tucson with the great weather that we have, that most of the year the people at Kitt Peak and up on Mount Lemmon and the other places and Seward Observatory, all the different places that we can look through the beautiful skies in Tucson.
Very fortunate that way.
And our dark skies municipal regulations to keep the lights down a little bit. So you teach students. People ask me, what do I teach at the U of A? And my always response is students. And so you teach classes at the U of A. And what is your specialty there? What do you teach?
It's space systems design.
Mm-hmm.
And so through students, we actually explore mission opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
We put students at the front row, at the front seat, literally, to... Cool. Look at how we could explore all of the celestial bodies we haven't quite reached yet. There are many, and so students get to help devise mission plans and opportunities, some of which then get distilled over the years, get more refined.
Nothing like applied learning,
right.
of actually doing something that might actually take fruition someday. And taking the idea from conception to reality is kind of a neat process, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, and trying to figure that out. We're going to talk about one of those great projects after the break. It'll be great to listen to that. So what is your favorite thing about teaching? Why teaching as a career? I realize you're a researcher and inventor, if you will, and like to do all that kind of stuff. But how about the teaching component? What's your favorite part about that?
Well, it's just great, being able to help, in a sense, mold students,
mm-hmm.
To become great individuals in this sphere, and then seeing them, grow and show talent, and then make contributions of their own in this field, and so I think that's one of the great things, to just be able to see that,
and.
We can share quite a lot of success stories now, thanks in part to the support of the NASA program, but also some of the, I would say, the seeds that we set up years earlier,
mm-hmm.
Thanks also to collaboration with some of the other talented professors.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a team effort in helping to create an engine like this to then see students pass through.
That's one of the great things about teaching is launching them, no pun intended, but launching them into their careers and what you see many years later. Well, you're listening to Jump in Tucson. This is Ed Ackerley. This is the Monday edition, the Wonder Program. We're highlighting great things happening at the University of Arizona, sponsored in part by Michael Kasser of Halu'alo'a Companies. We'll be back in just a minute, and we'll talk about a unique program that Dr. Thenga and his students have put together. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Ed Ackerley, your host. With me co-hosting on this Monday morning is Roman Campuzano.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here, Roman. Appreciate all you do for the community. The Monday Wonder Program about the good things happening at the University of Arizona is sponsored in part by Michael Kasser of Halu'aloha Companies. We thank Michael for his continued support of the great things going on at the University of Arizona. Our guest this segment is Dr. Jaikant Thenga. He is Associate Professor of Aerospace and Mechanical Engineering. And we just got wrapped up talking about applying education to come up with creative and unique things for the world. And my good friend, University Vice President Pam Scott, tipped me off to this. I'm gonna read this because it's just, to me, it just blows me away. The headline is, Cathedral Termite Mounds Inspire University of Arizona Designed Lunar Structures on the Moon. Obviously, a lunar structure is on the moon. So, what? So tell us about how these students figured out that looking at these termite structures would then translate to creating sandbag buildings on the surface of the moon.
Termites and I would say several other what we call eusocial insects are great engineers. Mm-hmm. You know, they really rival everything that we can do. Probably still can even outmatch us in you know, several things, arguably.
Somebody said that if all the insects in the world were eradicated, that human beings would last about 20, 25, 30 years. But if all the humans left the Earth, the insects would last forever. So I think that's probably true. So,
Yeah, no, the insects are resilient. I mean, insects have actually survived two major extinction events over 400 million years. And that you couldn't say of any other quote-unquote advanced creatures.
Right. And so they are engineers. They've figured out how to live in hostile environments and so forth. And that's exactly probably what was extrapolated from this experience. To think about how might they teach us something about living on the moon?
Right. And so particularly with the termites, it's interesting because for folks who have had to deal with termite issues, they're typically surviving in a cool, moist environment, but they've adapted to living in dry, hot deserts, particularly in Australia and Africa. Mm-hmm. And how they've done it is they've helped build these nests that are almost skyscraper-like by our standards, in which they live inside, they grow their own food, they have heating and cooling systems, and they have an entire social hierarchy to help them survive inside these structures. And so they don't have to leave. Mm-hmm. And they can be, you know, sort of self-placed in these structures for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm. And so this was the impetus to then to think, well, how might we take this technology that they have developed, you know, if you want to call it that, or the social structure and the way they've done that, and translate that to what could we do for astronauts on the moon, and how could we develop that same kind of a situation, correct?
That's right, that's right. And here, the conduits, in other words, the agents that would do it, wouldn't necessarily be humans, right, but rather robots. Mm-hmm. And so the robots could serve the place of the, you know, literally the drones in you know, a termite nest or a bee's nest, and be, you know, doing the construction, and then the construction expansion and repairs and those types of tasks. And it ends up that these tasks are going to be dull, dirty, and dangerous on the moon for astronauts. At first, you know, an idea like this was a little bit harder for folks to accept, mm-hmm. in part because robotics wasn't just there yet. That was one factor. The second was, and given, you know, all of the success of Apollo, it was very human-centric pathway to mm-hmm. go until our realization that maybe there are a lot of other dangers lurking and maybe we've got to find a, you know, sort of a more a slightly different path that could still, you know, help propel the human enterprise. Humans are at the front. Humans are going to be doing the most exciting things. That's the science. That's the exploration. But let's get some of these other tasks that are needed to you know, keep them alive and keep them energized through robots.
And so part of this process is to think to the future and think about how technology will advance over the next decade or two, and how robots could help make this happen. I was curious as I was reading this. Are the sandbags from moon dust? Are they making them out of moon dust and putting them into like bricks and making the structure from the moon dust? Then
that's correct. Yes, we ideally want to be able to use all of the local lunar resources to do the construction, but there's going to be variability. Almost as much variability as this it's on Earth, and so to first build that structure, to achieve that hardness, to achieve that reliability is no joke. And so you're going to have to do some trial and error. Short of that, we asked, what is a method that you could do, even with variable lunar conditions, dust, let's just say it's mixed with pebbles or rocks, can you get started with construction? And so that's where the lunar sandbag idea really takes off, just because of how versatile it is. And literally anybody can do it.
Right. And we're talking that maybe people won't do it, but actually a robot will get out and do that and go pick up the moon dust, put it into a bag, bring it over and stack it up on a wall, and we're going to build a little city out of this.
Wow.
And over the course of a decade or so, we might build a pretty significant infrastructure and model it after what the termites are doing in South America and other places.
And I should add, the lunar dust has some resemblance to sort of beach sand here on Earth. It's the same composition, titanium oxide, but it's got all the properties of crushed glass. And so that's nasty stuff. And in the Apollo days, the astronauts were touching and feeling it for the very first time, of course. And it started getting inside their suits. And then so the last days, they were starting to itch from inside out from these things.
Fiberglass kind of stuff.
So fiberglass kind of stuff.
Wow.
And so that really put put limitations on what you could really do. And so hence, that was one of the thrust for going for robotics. Trying to encapsulate them with a bag.
Yeah, what a fascinating concept, a fascinating idea to use robots to build, I don't know about you, Roman, but I wouldn't have thought of that in a million years, so that's amazing.
Yes. Yeah. I'm actually very, very thankful to be a part of this conversation right now. I didn't know this was something that was happening. It's well into its process.
It's amazing. So, hopefully you'll stay at the U of A for some time and mentor some young people into this. So maybe you could see this to fruition down the line sometime, maybe within the next decade. There might be some experimental robots that go up there and try and give this a shot as they're doing other work on the moon and trying to get make the moon the spaceport, if you will, for future exploration of the solar system and beyond. So, well, Dr. Jenkin, thank you for being here. He's an associate professor of aerospace and mechanical engineering and doing great things with students at the University of Arizona. We love that. We love what you're doing with students. Tomorrow, General Ted Maxwell will be here. Wednesday, Grant Kruger. Thursday, Tom Moulton. And I'll be back on Friday with some business success stories. If you'd like to be interviewed on Jump in Tucson on our Friday show, let us know. Look at our website, jumpintucson.com. This is Tucson's only live local news talk station, KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. Thanks for listening to Jump in Tucson, and I'll see you Friday as we continue on down the week.